listening to Tassie Encounters on Faith FM, and we're coming to you from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday at 9 a.m, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook, and today we have Simon Morton joining us from Burnie. Welcome, Simon.
Thank you very much, Jason. Thanks for the opportunity. Really excited to be here.
It's great to have you here, and thank you for stepping in. Now, Jacob Ellis was meant to be doing today's program with me, and normally I'm in Hobart when I do it with Jacob, but I'm physically actually up on the northwest of Tassie today. So
fantastic.
We're here in person. I can see you face to face.
God works in wonderful ways, doesn't he?
He does. He does. So anyway, Jacob said, hey, why don't you contact Simon and see whether he can help you out? He's got the flu at the moment, so we need to pray for Jacob. Hopefully he gets back to full strength soon.
Exactly. No, he's been a busy boy.
Yes. So. He's been away last week up in Canberra, I think. And but anyway, so it's great to have you here. Simon, this is the first day that I've met you, so I'm still getting to know you, but I love getting to know people and know their story. Tell us a little bit about you. Who are you? Tell us about your family. Just introduce us a little bit.
No worries at all. Oh, listen, once again, my name's Simon. I'm married with two young boys who are the light of my life. We've moved here to Tasmania almost 4 years ago now, mm-hmm. from Victoria, and absolutely loving it here.
What places have you lived in your life?
Whoa, how long have you got?
just name a few.
Rightio. So, grew up in Ballarat.
Okay.
So, Ballarat boy. Mm-hmm. Then Melbourne for a few years. Then was up at Avondale for a few years. And then over in WA at Karralundi for a few years.
So, for those who don't know, Avondale's our Adventist university, and that's based in, what do you call, sort of central coast, New South Wales,
yeah.
In a place called Currumbong.
That's the one.
It sounds like a very Aboriginal name to me. I'm guessing it is.
It is. Yep, right next to Morisset. And then Karralundi is an Indigenous boarding school run by our church in the middle of WA, in the outback there. And that was
What would be the closest significant town to Karralundi?
Listen, if you, in the absolute centre of WA, if you put a dot in the absolute centre of WA,
that's where Karralundi.
That's where it is, really. So 4 hours to Newman.
I'm guessing hot and dry.
Oh, very much. We were there in January 1 year, and the average temperature for the month of January was 39 degrees.
Wow. That's hot. And now you're in Tasmania.
Oh, exactly. Best of both worlds.
Yeah. Now, tell me a little bit about, do you have any hobbies or passions that you like?
Oh, listen, I love reading. I love writing. I love sharing God with other people. Just living your life as full as you can. And, family comes first, and trying to make life as full and as rich for the kids is a big part. That's our first and biggest ministry, really, isn't it?
And what do you do for work?
Me, I work in good old-fashioned call centres. So I work for a call centre for a radiology company here, and I work with Northern Tas, Gippsland and Albury as well, which is a bit of a weird selection of places I work with. But I book them in for ultrasounds and CT scans and MRIs and that kind of stuff.
Awesome. Now, you said that previously you lived in Tasmania. We'll come back and talk about your journey to Tasmania shortly. But I just want to remind our listeners, today we do have a show number. It's 0488 880 891. That's 0488 880 891. We've got a free book offer coming up in the program a bit later. So write that number down and text us in. Tell us where you're listening from. And We are not live today, so this is a pre-recorded program, but we still do look at your messages. So if there's something that we feel that would be great to share, we can always share it on our next episode. Last week, Jacob and Morgan shared with us, or literally that was the title, shared with us, but the title was With Us, God with Us. So you can also listen to those episodes online with our Faith FM Australia app and the Faith FM website. So great way to touch base. I think you get a pretty good signal here where we are in Burnie, but Burnie is a bit patchy in some places. So if you have trouble listening to the radio, you can always use the website. That's faithfm.com.au or the app. It's a great way to listen as well. So, now get back to your journey. And today we've actually titled the program The Unplanned Journey, or The Journey Unplanned, I think it was.
Mm.
So, Tasmania, you journeyed to Tasmania from Victoria at an interesting time.
We did. A few years ago, there was a thing called COVID, which unfortunately has affected all of us very deeply and in very many varied ways. And we had our first lockdown in Victoria, which let's just say I didn't cope with very well. It's it's not the easiest thing to change your life on such a short notice and restricted and all the rest of it there, and really struggled through that one there, Jason. So at the end of it there, my wife and I sat down and had a quick chat and said, listen, she asked me, have you ever thought about moving to Tasmania? And I went, no, but I like the idea. I mean, it sounds awesome. I like cooler weather and stuff like that. So we sat down and started looking at Tasmania as a place to move to. And, of course, well, first of all, we went to think, well, we'll move to Hobart. We'll move to Hobart and everything there. And it was a terrible time to move to Hobart because the house prices there were just skyrocketing through the roof. Houses went on the market and were selling within half an hour of even being put onto the market and selling for, you know, $20,000-$30,000 more than what they were put up for. And, oh, it was just crazy.
Tasmania was a pretty good place to be during that time because we had minimal lockdowns, and being an island, we were isolated, so it was much more difficult for people to travel here and bring the virus with them. So I feel blessed that I was in Tasmania during that time.
Listen, you were blessed, and it was just amazing the difference when we actually did come over here. But the thing was, in Hobart, every door closed. Every door closed, and we would, every time we looked at somewhere in Hobart, every door closed, even the school, Hilliard School there, because we did want to go to an Adventist school for our kids. And the only year they had a waiting list for was the very year we wanted. So we were very very dispirited and disheartened by it all. And
but God opened up a different path for you.
God, nothing's impossible for God. Nothing. And, of course, we noticed that there was another school, Northwest Christian School in Penguin.
And, of course, that's where Jacob broadcasts from.
Oh, it's a small world.
Each time he does his program. So.
And I said to my wife, have you thought about moving to Burnie? And all of a sudden, a house became available in our price range. Everything, you know how everything just fell into place. We got him, we got our oldest enrolled in the school. We got everything we wanted. We found a perfect house. The funny thing is, we bought a house totally unseen. We did not see the house before we bought it.
Sounds like a scary thing to do.
The first time I ever saw the house is when we actually moved in. But the thing is, once again, you step out in faith, you step out, you know,
sort of knowing that somehow God's with you on the way.
Totally. And then he backs you up to the hilt. So all of a sudden, all the doors closed for Hobart, but every single door more than opened for us here in Burnie. And, you know, here we are almost 4 years later. And the only real issue I have is, why didn't I move here sooner, Jason? That is the only problem I have.
Well, I'd say that's not a great, not a big problem to have. But you're here now, and it's good to have you here on the radio today. So God leads in mysterious ways sometimes. Hey, there's a song I could have put that on that talks about God leading in mysterious ways. Anyway, we've got a question for you today. As I said, it's not a live program. It's a recorded program. But if you do text us in, we might be able to share it on a future episode. And we do read the messages and we can reply to you. But have you ever had an unplanned journey? So maybe something unexpected happened in your life and you had to change your plans. Tell us about what happened. Let us know. 0488 880 891. Have you ever had an unplanned journey? We'd love to hear from you. Our first song today, this is Corey Asbury with Only Jesus for My Pain.
I must have tried most everything. It ended all the same. For good and bad, I realize only Jesus for my pain. Designer jeans and pretty things, in the end they fade. It took the dust to realize only Jesus for my pain. Only Jesus knows the questions, the things I'm scared to say. Only Jesus holds the answers to the troubles I can't face. And every single road I take leads right back to this place. Only Jesus for my pain. And every time I try to run, His kindness called my name. You'd think that I'd have learned by now, only Jesus for my pain. Only Jesus knows the questions, the things I'm scared to say. Only Jesus holds the answers to the troubles I can't face. And every single road I take leads right back to this place. Only Jesus for my pain. Live to see the day that I could outgrow grace. But since I'm on my knees again, seems this is where we meet again. Only Jesus for my pain, and I wouldn't change a thing.
You're listening to Tassie Encounters on Faith FM, and today we're speaking with Simon Morton up on the northwest coast of Tasmania, looking at the journey unplanned today. Have you ever had an unplanned journey? Tell us about it. Text us in on 0488 880 891. Simon, we've been looking at your move to Tasmania, and when you got here, I'm guessing perhaps in Victoria you had to leave a job to come here, and that's a scary thing to do as well. When you know, did you have a job before you moved here, or did you move without a job?
Oh, listen, it's hugely daunting, especially when you've got a family and all the rest there. You've got to provide and do things there, but you know, it's one of those leap in faith type things. And one of the great things about being a Christian is no matter what happens, no matter where you end up, you always know that God's in control. That if everything else fails, God is always there to lift us up and to support us and supply us our every need. And every single time where we've come across things like that, God has always come through. A little bit later than we'd like it at times, a little bit close to the wire on various times.
I so understand that. Sometimes you think, God, I've been praying. Where's the answer? And you're right at the last minute, and then eventually the answer comes. I wonder if that's just, you know, God saying, hey, trust me. I've got it in hand.
I know. But every time he comes through, though, every time he comes, it's not always the way you've got it planned.
No, exactly.
In fact, quite frequently, it's not the way you got planned. But the thing is, one of the things that I love and one of the beautiful things is even if it doesn't work out the way you have it planned, God still uses you. God can use you in any way, in any shape, no matter where you are on your journey. It doesn't matter if you feel close to God, far away from God. It's just on a flick of a switch. God can use you at any time and just in just beautiful and amazing ways.
Just a quick recap of how God's led in my journey for radio here, you know, it was in the late 80s, 87, that I volunteered at a Christian radio station. I was going to be working primarily with the engineer there on a technical level because I liked electronics. And, 1987, I spent 3 days a week working with the engineer. I ended up doing broadcast. I ended up on air. I wrote jingles and things for the radio as well.
Awesome.
And then in the following year, I actually decided to go and study at university in Hobart and ended up studying electronic engineering, so became an engineer. Long story short, I spent most of my life in IT. But then, 30-something years later, God calls me back in to do radio, and both the broadcast radio and also the technical looking after the transmitters. And that really blows me away, because who would have known back in 1987 that was preparing me for something 30-something years down the track?
And the funny thing is, no matter where you are in your journey, God is always preparing you for your next step. You don't realize it at the time, and it's not, you're not aware of it at the time, but he's always there. Like, quite often I go, oh, why did I go through that, God? Why did you put me through that? And all of a sudden you go, Oh, that's why. Okay.
Now it makes sense.
Okay.
Sometimes... Like, there's been things that I've had, and I was sharing something about this on the weekend with a group of people, but sometimes, you know, things happen and we still don't know the answer. Like, I'm still waiting for an answer for that time where I went through something, God convicted me of something, and I still don't know why. But, you know, sometimes we've got to be patient.
Well, that's one of the things, is because sometimes we think when we interact with someone that, you know, we are the all, you know, we're the complete journey. We don't realize that we're only one little small.
We can be just one small part of it.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, we might not see the start. We might be the start. We might not see the finish, but God intends for you to be part of this journey, and he wants you to be a vital aspect of that journey. So you don't see the results. You don't see the fruits. You don't, well, sorry,
you quite don't frequently. Always. You don't always.
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes you do.
Yeah.
But, you know, but it doesn't. Sometimes we're only bought in for a season, aren't we?
Yeah, for sure. Now, at your job at radiology, I know you have a passion for God and sharing your faith with people, but that must be a difficult thing to do in a job like the sort of job that you work, you know, you're on the phones and what have you. You don't have much of an opportunity, but you've got a bit of a story about how somehow you connected with someone.
One of the beautiful things is, you know, I've always wanted to work for the Lord, always wanted to do his will and his service. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's paid and quite frequently it's not.
Yeah.
But the thing is, no matter where you are in your journey, no matter where you are in your life, I've always found that God can still use you no matter what. And it all comes down to availability. As long as you make yourself available to God to be used, he'll go, okay, radio, here's what we got in store for you. And one of those times, one of the things I think of is, how can you witness for God in a call center when you're on the phones? And you've got to be... One of those things is where you've got to be very
careful.
You've got to be professional. You've got policies you've got to adhere to and all the rest there and everything like that. But God finds his way. And I remember one time, and it's a bit of a good and a sad story, because once again, you don't know the fruits. You don't know the ends or anything like that. But I had this lady give me a call, and she was just in her late 40s. And she was calling up. She wanted to book in an ultrasound, a breast ultrasound. And reading through her record and having a chat to her, I discovered that she'd already had, and cancer is a horrible thing, as unfortunately we both are aware of, but we'll cover that a bit later as well.
We've talked a little bit about that already today.
We've got some more than Christianity in common.
Mm.
But the thing is, the poor lady was ringing me up to book in a breast ultrasound. Now, unfortunately, she'd already had her battles with cancer and she'd already had a double mastectomy, and heartbreakingly, they had found something else and she needed to book in for another ultrasound to have a look at it. And naturally enough, she was devastated, Jason. Mm. Just her whole demeanor, her voice, her everything, naturally enough, was shattered.
Mm.
She was a broken woman, and my heart bled for her. Just absolutely devastating. So here I am, I'm, you know, being my professional self, but inside my heart was breaking, and trying to book her in for an ultrasound. And I'm there, and all of a sudden, and this is about being available for God, all of a sudden I just get, not a voice in my head, but, you know, you just get that
strong sense.
Strong sense of crack a joke.
Mm.
Now, I'm a big believer in humor. I love humor in everything. And I'm there going, what? Lord, what are you going on about?
This is a serious thing we're dealing with here.
This could have serious consequences if it goes bad. What do you mean, crack a joke?
Mm.
And it came through again, crack a joke. And they go, I'm not sure. Are you really, really sure about this, God? Crack a joke. And I'm thinking, oh, man. Oh, I didn't get this far by saying no to God. Well, all the time anyway. But, okay, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, okay. In a very sensitive and nice manner, let's crack a joke then. So I cracked a joke, and I'm just waiting. And then all of a sudden, she cracks a joke back. And then all of a sudden, and we've got zingers going around everywhere. We're cracking jokes left, right, and center. She's laughing. I'm laughing. The mood totally changes.
Mm.
And we just chat, and laughing away. And we finished the booking there. And I'm sure my boss, if they were listening to the call, would have said, you took far too long with that call. Thanks. But I don't care. Not when you're doing the Lord's work. Thank you very much. And the thing is, you find, Jason, that when you work in a call center and stuff like that, and many other jobs in life as well, you get up a bit of a barrier, because you form a bit of a barrier between you and the person you're dealing with, because it's a protective measure.
Yeah.
To protect yourself from any, you know, you might get an angry person, you might get, you know what I mean.
And of course, there's a natural barrier anyway, because you're not face to face. You know, so there's even this artificial barrier as well.
Exactly. So I had this barrier up and running, and the problem was that what she said smashed that barrier completely. It broke me, absolutely broke me. So here we are laughing away and on a dreadful phone call, on a dreadful subject, and we're laughing away. And at the end of the phone call, just as she's about to hang up, she says to me, Simon, I meant to speak to you today. Mm. I was meant to speak to you today. And that broke me, Jason. That broke me. That just, I was in tears at the end of that one there. And I'm just going, thank you, Lord.
Mm.
Here I am in such a professional atmosphere, and yet you can still use me. We didn't even mention God's name.
Mm.
We didn't need to, if you know what I mean.
Mm. Do you know, I know because I've been with people in groups of people with cancer, and laughter is one of the things that people need. It actually is healing to have laughter and to have that, you know, just fun spirit, I guess. When we're dealing with something serious, sometimes laughter can be the best medicine. They actually say it, don't they? Laughter is the best medicine.
Big time, because the thing is, the last thing someone sick wants is sympathy.
Mm.
They don't want sympathy. They know the situation they're in. They know what they're going through and everything like that. And what they want, and this is just, once again, my opinion in what I've dealt with and my experiences, but in my opinion, what people want is just to feel normal again. They just want to embrace life again. And part of that, and a big part of that, is just learning to laugh all over again. even in spite of some of the horrible things that life throws at us.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians that I'm reminded of, you know, when we find ourselves in different situations, particularly in different work situations. And this is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, from the New Living Translation. It says, "Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless."
Oh,
isn't that great to know that even in situations where we're not, you know, we're not at church or we're not, you know, preaching or we're not doing that, but even in our day-to-day work, there's another passage that I says that I think says that in everything you do, work as if you are working for God, because we are.
We are.
We are.
We are. We never not, even at home, at work, wherever we go, God living through us.
Mm. Absolutely. But I love this to say that, you know, nothing we do for the Lord is ever useless, even though sometimes we may not see it.
And we don't see the fruit, do we?
We don't always see the fruit, so. Have you ever had an unplanned journey? Tell us about it. Text us in on 0488 880891. We'd love to hear from you later on. We've got The Prodigal Father is our free book offer, so stay tuned for more details about that. Right now, this is Broken Things by Matthew West.
If grace was a kingdom, I stopped at the gate, thinking I don't deserve to pass through after all the mistakes that I made. Oh, but I heard a whisper, as heaven bent down, said, "Child, don't you know that the first will be last, and the last get a crown?" Now I'm just a beggar in the presence of a king. I wish I could bring so much more. But if it's true that you use broken things, then here I tell me it's true, that it's never the perfect, it's always the ones with the scars that you use. Oh, it's the rebels and the prodigals, it's the humble and the weak, all the misfit heroes you chose. Tell me there's hope for sinners like me. Now I'm just a beggar in the presence of a king. I wish I could bring so much more. But if it's true that you use broken things, then here I am, Lord, I'm all yours. Open wide, and there's a seat at the table just waiting for you, so come on inside.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
You're listening to Tassie Encounters on Faith FM, and today we're here with Simon Morton, and we've been talking about journeys unplanned. Now, Simon, I believe you grew up in a fairly conservative church environment, and you had a bit of a a challenging time with your faith early on. Tell us a little bit about that and share with us the moment that a big change took place.
It's an amazing story. But once again, you know, we all start off as spiritual babes, don't we? Our understanding and knowledge and everything is very limited to begin with. And it's one of the exciting things about our spiritual journeys is our growth and our understanding. And, you know, like you can read the same passage of the Bible different years apart and then just get deeper, richer.
Sometimes something new hits you in the face. Oh. Like, how have I not ever seen that before? It's amazing.
Oh, I came across a story that I'd never heard from the Bible before. I'm going, how have I missed this? Exactly. But I grew up in a very conservative church, Jason, and I don't believe I'm the only one in that regards there.
And you're a similar age to me, and so things were different, you know, back when we were younger.
It doesn't make it a bad church.
No.
And that's the thing there. I'm not, you know, not bagging it out.
You're not bagging it out. You're not having anything like
it. It was just life back then.
That's how it was. And I grew up in a similar way as well. And my father grew up in an even more conservative and you might call legalistic environment. And so we all have to grapple with that sometimes. And yeah.
It is. It is. And the thing is, you know, you've got your rich tapestry of people at the church. You've got the wacky ones and fun ones and super serious ones and all the rest of it there. I mean, it's all part of the package, really, is it, of every normal church that we have. But the thing is, growing up there as a teen, the message I got from it, whether it was intended or not, was that to be saved, you needed to follow the Ten Commandments and obey all of the Ten Commandments. And if you didn't, well, there was no heaven for you.
And when you say obey them, you mean obey them perfectly.
Is there any other way?
Yeah.
Is there any other way? And
it's a bit like the man who came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And
obey the Ten Commandments.
And Jesus lists the commandments off and he says, well, I've done all that. But interestingly, he was not saved.
Well, that's one of the things that Jesus did is he takes the rules and then just brings a deeper, richer understanding of them. Like he goes, hey, Pharisees, you're keeping all the rules, but you're keeping the letter of the law.
There's something missing in the heart.
But you're missing the spirit of the law.
That's it.
And that's the key factor. God's more concerned, I believe, in the spirit of the law. Now, with this one here, I grew up and I was 15, 16 when I was baptized, and I seriously tried to keep them, Jason. I really tried to keep the Ten Commandments. I tried really, really hard. And
how did you go? Did you do it perfectly? For short periods of time?
You've got good days.
Yeah.
And then you've got really bad ones.
Yeah.
And the problem is that when you focus on that, it's the bad days that stick around. And it's the bad days that Satan uses to grind into you. Oh, you're not good enough to do this. This is the type of person we're going to ignore the good days. We're only going to focus on the bad days. And this is the type of person you are, which is a lie.
That's the accuser.
Oh, Satan knows all the buttons to push.
He does. And it's almost like I've been listening to a podcast recently and it's looking at the Old Testament and the laws of the Old Testament. It's almost like the Old Testament is a book that's showing us the law, you know, it does talk about the law, but it also talks about how poorly we and God's chosen people actually kept the law. You know, they messed up time and time again.
And
that's how I think if we try to live our Christian life by the book like that, by the law, by the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law, we're going to muck up time and time again.
By the letter of the law, we deserve death.
That's right.
So I prefer the spirit and the saving grace of Jesus. Thanks. Yeah. But
So what was that? What was the step in your life that sort of changed?
Well, the big thing for me was that by the time I was about 18, I realized I couldn't do it. I could not keep the Ten Commandments.
I was 18 at the same time. I had the same experience.
And the thing is, and sadly, I decided that I couldn't. So from 18 onwards, for about the next 10 years of my life, I believed I wasn't going to heaven.
So you became hopeless.
Yeah. So I stopped. I never gave up on Jesus. I never stopped loving Jesus. I never stopped loving him, but I just gave up trying.
You felt that you just weren't going to make it for some reason.
No, I wasn't good enough. So obviously everyone else must be good enough, and it's just some flaw and some weakness in me. So every time I try, I fail. So why bother trying? So I spent the next 10 years of my life with that attitude. Like, I went to church every now and again to catch up with my friends and, you know, and the funny thing is, Jason, is when I went to church, I loved it. I love the whole, the hymns, the sermons, the feel, the everything that was just so familiar to me. But then I wouldn't go again for another 6 months or another year or whatever because I wasn't good enough. I didn't understand
it. That's what you believed.
That's what I believed. And the thing is, I always wanted to be a pastor ever since I was about 15 years old. I wanted to be a minister. I wanted to go out there and spread God's word. But how could I spread God's word if I didn't understand God's word? It just didn't make sense because to me, I thought I must be missing something because how can God say that you need to keep the Ten Commandments to be saved and then make them so jolly hard that you couldn't keep them? I mean, it didn't make sense to me. But one year, I had lovely relatives in the Wanturna Church in Victoria, in Melbourne, and I love spending time with them. They're just magical people. And one year they had a special, it was called Camp X, and they had a special speaker from America, Bob, come over. And did I want to go? No. But did I end up going? Yes, because of the Holy Spirit. You know, God's in charge, Jason, whether we like it or not. He leads and directs us in so many different ways. And all of a sudden, to my amazement, I found myself at Camp X listening to Bob preach. And that night changed my life. That night, Bob said something that, although other speakers may have said, it never sunk into me. It never really...
Didn't hit home.
No, it didn't. It didn't. And I listened to him and he said these beautiful words. He said, God loves you just the way you are. You don't need to change for God to love you. God loves you just the way you are. You don't need it.
We don't need to be... Or to try to be perfect in order to gain his approval.
Exactly. God loves you just the way you are. Just love him back. He will come into your life and he will make the changes that are necessary to do it. But all of a sudden I heard about this thing called grace. And here I am, almost 30 years old, and hearing about this magical thing called grace for the first time in my life. It was just like that God moment, you know, the heavens opened and the heavenly light came down, you know, that type of moment in my life. And I just, all of a sudden, it clicked. All of a sudden, it made sense. All of a sudden, I could understand what was going on. I could understand the whole reason behind everything. And it all clicked. It all made sense once I understood the beauty of grace and got rid of the shackles and the chains of legalism and perfectionism and the trap that it actually is. And that changed my life completely.
I love this verse in Romans 5, verse 8 that says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners.
Amen.
That absolutely states that experience, that his great love, he loves us while we were still sinners. So we don't have to try to get ourselves perfect before he loves us.
Exactly. And that's, you know, I just think of all that time I spent trying to be perfect when I could have spent it loving him instead.
Absolutely. We're going to go to another break. We've got a book offer, though. We promised this earlier in the program. It's called The Prodigal Father, Stories of God's Prodigal Grace by David Marshall. The Bible has many prodigal sons and daughters, but only one prodigal father. The local picture of God's revelation of himself through Scripture is the father in Jesus' story of the lost son. In the Father, there is no un-Christ-likeness at all. If we think there is, it's because we've misunderstood something. Grace arches over both testaments like a rainbow. The invitation of grace sounds through every book of the Bible. This is our book offer today, so stay tuned for the code where you can text us in and grab this after the break. This is Jordan Lavick with Amazing Grace. I love this version.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the how I first
listening to Tassie Encounters on Faith FM, and we've been talking with Simon Morton today, The Journey Unplanned. You've certainly had a journey unplanned, and we've got a little bit more of that to come up. But before we finish our program today, we've got our book offer, The Prodigal Father by David Marshall, Stories of God's Prodigal Grace. Text us in the code NWCS32, NWCS32. Text that in to 0488 880891 to claim a copy of that book today. David, you've had a bit of a story yourself, a challenging story. We know that life isn't always easy. It's not doesn't always go the way we planned or expected.
Mm-hmm.
We've both been through some challenging circumstances of dealing with cancer. So tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, one of the beautiful things is knowing that God is always in control. Like, it may feel like an unplanned journey for us, and, well, quite often it is. But we just have that, we know that God is always in control, and we have that security in it. But even though we do find ourselves in some very tricky situations, don't we? Very vulnerable and very awkward situations. And I'd been sick for about 6 months and didn't really know why and all that kind of thing. And the doctor eventually sent me through for an ultrasound myself. I booked myself in too, by the way. And ended up that
Did you call yourself on the call center to book you in? hey, Simon, can I have an appointment, please?
The manager would love listening to that phone call. But no, one of my colleagues found a growth in my large intestines, and which turned out to be very, very volatile. And long story short on that one there, they found a tumour in my large intestines. And just after Christmas 2022, I had an operation to remove the tumour and a third of my large intestines. Not the best weight loss program ever devised. And yeah, and unfortunately, it was quite... let's just say radioactive. It was quite vigorous and vibrant, and it had been sending out lots of little tiny specks of cancer all over my body. And so the oncologist decided that a course of chemotherapy was in order.
That's often the case, unfortunately. And chemo is not something that I've had to go through. I went through immunotherapy, which is different, but also can be challenging. But I know... if I had to face chemo, that would be very hard. And I think you had the same sort of reluctance.
Oh, listen, the thing was that they checked my lymph nodes and they checked 42 of them and they found cancer in one. Now, it's better than two, but not as good as zero. And because of that, the oncologist decided that a course of chemo was thing. And that was the last thing I wanted, Jason. Anything but chemo. Anything but, oh, okay, chemo, here it is, okay. Audio. You sort of raise your eyes up and go, Lord, okay, let's do this together then. And I remember the day where went into up at the Burnie Hospital, went into the oncology ward, and the nurse, and the thing is, lovely nurses there, lovely people there, nothing but the best praise for all our medical staff. They do an amazing job in very difficult circumstances. And this lovely nurse led me through to a couch. There was a whole massive row of couches there with a person on every single one. Man, cancer is a scourge in our community these days, Jason, just more than we could ever imagine.
Actually, Beam, this is something I take quite an interest in. There's been a surge of cancers too since COVID as well. So
we'll leave
that discussion for another time.
I'll get in trouble with that one.
Yeah.
Now, but the thing is that as awesome as the nurses are, the first thing happens when you go in for chemotherapy is they sit you on the couch there and then they go through everything that can go wrong. And I mean, seriously, that is a long list. It is a huge list. And the thing is, as she was going on, I was already scared going in there. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what was going to happen. I just knew it was going to be horrible. And the thing was, as she was going through the list of all the bad things that was happening, I was getting more and more scared. And by the end of her, you know, big long list of side effects and all that kind of stuff, I was terrified. I mean, here I am, over 50 years old, and I am petrified. I was seconds away from just jumping up from the chair and bolting for the exit and never coming back. I mean, seriously, I was that scared. And the sad thing is that the nurse, unfortunately, did not pick up on it. She did not pick up on how terrified I was. But amazingly, and to, you know, glory to God, there's a woman sitting there, a magnificent, beautiful woman sitting next to me who was going through chemo. So she was there having her chemo treatment and she picked up on it. She picked up on how terrified I was. And she waited until there was a little bit of a gap in the conversation because she saw how terrified I was. And then she made a comment to me. And I just latched onto her like a drowning man, drowning on, you know, clutching a life raft. And then all of a sudden we started chatting. And Jason, here she is, and she talked me down.
Mm.
She talked me down from the edge.
Mm.
And she just an amazing woman, just talked me down and talked me through it and just took my mind off all of it.
So God provided someone to be there for you. And, you know, this is perhaps a false assumption that, hey, when you're a Christian and you've got faith in God, that you'll never be scared. But, you know, that's probably another whole program to talk about. But, you know, even Elijah, after, you know, seeing God work amazing miracles, mm-hmm. he got scared and he ran away. So we do have these times when life gets challenging and scary.
And the scary thing is, well, not scary, but this incredible thing to really just add something, an extra layer on it, is the fact is that she was terminal.
Mm.
This was her last ditched attempt at trying to limit the ravages of cancer in her body.
Mm.
And she was spending her time
helping you,
helping me.
Mm.
The grace of her.
Now, I know that you went back to your church and you shared this with them and you prayed for the lady.
We did. And listen, the funny thing is, I called her my chemo angel.
Mm.
And we decided to make sure that we had chemo at the same time so we could continue chatting and continue sharing the experience together. And the thing is, she had one major growth in her lungs and two minor growths in her lungs. And we prayed and prayed because she's just the most beautiful woman, just amazing. And the thing is, 3 months later, she had a scan. One growth was gone in her lungs and the major growth was half the size.
Mm.
6 months later, she had another scan and praise the Lord, completely cancer free.
It's amazing. That brings a lot of emotion to me when you hear those stories because, you know, God, this is her last attempt. You know, as you said, she was terminal and, you know, whether it be your prayers, the chemo, whatever it is, God put you together at that time.
Oh, and neither of us planned it. Neither of us knew what was going to happen. But, you know, and the thing is, one of the things that remind me of is my favourite verse in the Bible.
Mm.
And my favourite verse in the Bible is found in Habakkuk 3:17-18. Not the most popular book in the world, but if you could read it out for me, please.
It says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crops fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation.
Amen. Even though I find unexpected journeys, the Lord, even if things don't work out the way we have it planned,
God
can use everything to his glory and we still need to love him, even in the midst of adversity.
Absolutely. Hey, Simon, thank you for joining us today, particularly at last minute. I really appreciate it because, I was hoping to have Jacob, but we got you. And it's been a fantastic program to talk to you and get to know you. So thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity, Jason, and all the best. And God bless.
May have you on again another time sometime.
I look forward to it. Thank you very much.
Join us tomorrow with David Cherry and myself. He's talking about a topic called We Have This Hope. So great thing to tune into tomorrow morning, same time. And our code today, just a reminder, NWCS32, text it into 0488 880891. That's the book, The Prodigal Father. This is Bruce Burgess with I Go to the Rock. May you encounter Jesus more every day today and today.
Where can I go when the storms of life are threatening? Who can I turn to when the winds of sorrow blow? And is there a refuge in my time of tribulation? I go to the rock, I know he's able. I go to the rock, oh, I go to the rock for my salvation. The stone the builders rejected, I'd run to the mountain. The mountain stands by me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, oh, I go to the rock. Where can I go when the storms of life are threatening? Who can I turn to when the winds of sorrow blow? And is there a refuge in my time of tribulation? I go to the rock, I know he's able. I go to the rock, I go to the rock for my salvation. The stone the builders rejected, I'd run to the mountain. The mountain stands by me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, oh, I go to the rock. Yeah, I go to the rock. You can go to the